I think it would be good to bow in prayer in the light of what we've heard. Lord, we thank thee for amazing grace. Grace that saves the soul. Grace that keeps us. Grace that will bring us safely home one day. Lord, we thank thee that by grace we're saved through faith. And we rejoice in the amazing grace of God tonight afresh. We pray for any who have never come to experience that grace that tonight thou will speak to them. Help them to sit up and listen to the word. Give help from on high. Lord, we're a weak vessel in thy hand, but you've given us a word. Help us to preach it. Give us the power of the Holy Ghost and glorify Christ as a result of our coming together in his name. Amen. Let's read some verses from the New Testament. We have at least this one message that we want to add to the messages that we've preached already on the day of the cross. And we want to think about Mary Magdalene. What a character she is. As we read about her in God's Word, we're turning to Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read a short portion from each of the Gospels tonight as we come to think about Mary Magdalene. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 15. We'll read verses 40 and 41. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. I want to read Luke chapter 23, verse 49. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And then one final verse, John chapter 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. May the Lord bless these scriptures to you as we've read them together. How often in many of our local congregations we've had to say, thank God for the women. And we think of some of our smaller congregations, and if it were not for the women folk, sometimes we wonder, where would those congregations be when it comes to the support, when it comes to the prayerful support of the dear women folk. God is pleased to gift to his church on earth women who evidently walk close to the Lord, who spend time in his holy presence, who are devoted and dedicated to his work, who love him in a special way that make them stand out as women of God. I think we all know women like that, each one of us, as we just think about the women that God has gifted to our congregation and to the Free Church. We can we can think about those tonight in our own minds who fit this description. They are faithful in their attendance. They're faithful in their worship. They're faithful in their prayer. They're faithful in their holy example. They're faithful in their encouragement, faithful in practical ways, and they have a sweet personality about their character that just carries a fragrance of the very presence of Christ, and you really enjoy being in their company because they uplift you and you're blessed by their life. We think of Phoebe. She's called in the Scriptures a servant of the church. What an outstanding, devoted woman of God she must have been. And the Apostle Paul commends her, and commends her highly, as he writes, as you know, to the church at Rome, the last chapter in the opening verse, tells us about Phoebe, and the next verse too, where he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, who seems to be visiting that area at this particular time, and now Paul's commending her to the church at Rome. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. She was a succorer of many. What does that mean? Well, it just means she was a real blessing. She was a real encouragement. She was a real blessing to the church there, and she drew alongside individuals, and her life for Christ just permeated into their lives. And Paul, he inserts a personal word of testimony in his epistle, and he says, of myself also. She was a succorer to many. She helped many people. She was an encouragement to many people. But Paul says, I want to identify with that. I want to put my name in there. She was a succorer to me as well. When many challenged Paul's authority and apostleship, this woman was a succorer, Phoebe by name. We think of the other women that Paul mentions in his greetings in that chapter, chapter 16 of Romans. Priscilla, she's called a helper in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful way to be known? Paul said of her and of her husband Aquila, who have for my life laid down their own necks. They had put themselves in personal danger for the cause of the gospel and for the Apostle Paul personally. And Paul then, he makes reference to one of the Marys of the New Testament, who bestowed much labor on us. So we read Romans chapter 16, and we say, thank God for the women. We can think of Mary of Bethany, the one who sat at Jesus' feet, learned from him. It was that dear woman, not long before the cross, who in sacrificial love took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And you remember the comment that the Word of God gives us on that, how the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That sacrificial offering that she made, that act of love that she showed to the Lord, well, it just that fragrance permeated the whole house. And Mary was commended by Christ for her act of love and gratitude. You can think of her sister too, Martha. Martha made the tea. Martha made the supper for the disciples and for the Lord. Oh, did that oftentimes. So we say when we think of the sisters from Bethany, thank God for the women folk. We think of those women who were often near the Lord during his ministry, ministering unto him. We've read that a number of times in these references, helping him in the work, supplying his needs, just being an encouragement, a support, a friend to Christ and his disciples. And these names stand out in the history of the New Testament. They were gifts to the early church in the times of the Savior. Mary's mother, no veneration is given to her at all. Some would give her veneration and worship, but she is blessed among women. And we thank God for this dear woman that was chosen by the Lord to be that vehicle that brought the Son of God into the world. and her name stands out, certainly in the history of the Gospels. We think of Joanna, we think of Mary, the mother of James, we think of Salome, Zebedee's wife, and we think of the one that we've read about tonight, particularly Mary Magdalene. The Holy Spirit put their names on record that we might learn about them and that we might learn from them. Mary Magdalene is at the cross. She watched Jesus die. There's no question mark at all over her love and devotion, her affection and faithfulness for the Savior. It is always our prayer that we might learn from the characters of the Bible. And when something of worth is mentioned by the Holy Spirit concerning any individual, that we ask the Lord to help us to learn from them and to make us like them. The mention of any person's name in the Bible is not incidental. The Lord just didn't put a name in there with no purpose. He mentions these names that we might learn. They're given in the history of the book, given by the Holy Spirit. During the earthly ministry of God's dear Son on earth, Mary Magdalene traveled with him as one of his followers. She was present at two of the most important moments in his life, his crucifixion and his resurrection. She is mentioned in all the four Gospels, and you know she's mentioned at least 12 times in the record of the Gospels. And that's more than most of the apostles' names are mentioned. So God has something to teach us. The Holy Spirit has recorded her name over and over again, and emphasis given to this character. So there must be lessons to learn, and there must be truths to apply to our hearts. I want to think about Mary Magdalene tonight. I want to think about her salvation, because this is where it begins for any one who becomes a true follower of the Lord, a true Christian. There's a number of the references I could turn to, but let me just mention what Mark tells us in Mark 16 and verse 9. And it's the time of the resurrection. And it says the first day of the week he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. The life of one who truly knows the Lord must begin with a conversion experience. There is a day, there's a moment in time when a person is brought face to face with Christ in a powerful, miraculous, life-changing fashion. It's the day when God gives us a revelation about ourselves, what we are in His sight, but a revelation of Christ the Redeemer. It is that very day when God gives us a transformation of character and He changes us through and through. It's the day indeed of redemption when the blood is applied and we are born of the Spirit and washed in that precious blood. Now we may not fully understand all that's taken place. We may not be able to explain everything in theological terms. We may not be able to assess all that takes place that moment when our eyes are open to see and our hearts are open to receive all that we come to enjoy in Christ. But there is a change, spiritually and eternally, when through faith we come to trust in Christ and our sins are dealt with forever. And this happened in Mary's life. There was a day when she was delivered from nature's darkness, brought out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Many who crossed the path of Christ when He was here on earth had a very sad problem of demon possession. Mary was one of them. For out of her, the Bible tells us, He cast seven devils. We do not know the precise details of her past. We don't know how this possession of the powers of darkness affected her. We read about a demoniac from Gadara who was affected with madness, who left his home to live in the graveyard, who could not be bound with fetters, who ran about the mountains night and day, the Bible says, crying and cutting himself with stones. We read of a boy in Mark chapter 9 who had a dumb spirit. The child couldn't speak. Somehow the devil had caused his tongue to be tied, and he had uncontrollable fits. For the scripture says, the testimony of his father concerning this demon, that it taketh him, teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And it also tried to destroy his life. Now Satan will try to destroy your life too, and bring you down to the depths of hell, where he attempted to cast the boy into the fire and into the water with this in mind, that his life might be taken. But more than often, devil possession in the Bible caused deafness, dumbness, blindness. And they were all delivered by Christ, those who came into contact with the Son of God. And I believe that they were all saved by Christ that day when they were brought out of Satan's kingdom and from under his dominion. Now, you may not suffer with demon possession. Your body may not be inhabited with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world or spiritual wickedness in high places, but I want to tell you this, you still need the power, the saving power of Jesus Christ to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light, to set you free from spiritual bondage and sin and bring you into the liberty of the gospel, to deliver you from the captivity of the devil and transport you into the freedom that is found in Christ alone. Devil possession may not be your sad experience, but being in his kingdom and under his sway most certainly is the lot of all men. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We're under the influence of Satan. You might be the most religious person on planet Earth, but that makes no difference. Jesus said to the religious people of his day, to the Jews, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's how the Lord sees the situation tonight. As he looks into the heart of all men without Christ, they are under the dominion of their father, the devil. And so, my friend, you need delivered. You need God's salvation. You need to be set free. Mary Magdalene had that moment in her life when she met the Lord and the Lord delivered her. Praise God for that tonight. And just by the way, there's no record in the inspired book that Mary was ever an immoral woman, given to lust, given to adultery. No mention of it in the Bible, not a shred of evidence. Of course, when it comes to Christ's saving grace and power, he saves all men and women who come, no matter what their background has been. He's able to save to the uttermost. But the point I'm simply making is this, that Mary did not have that kind of history, as far as we know it. There are some who seek to mar her character and identify her with the woman who was a great sinner, who kissed the feet of Jesus and wiped her tears with her hair. And so the name Magdalene, so dear to the apostolic band, has thereby become a euphemism for a woman of shame. But there's not a particle of evidence for this dishonoring identification. The story of the woman who was a sinner can be read in Luke chapter 7, but there's not a hint that she and Mary are the same person, not at all. But there was the day when Mary came to the Lord, delivered, saved by grace, the day of her salvation. Have you got that experience tonight? And then I want you to notice her dedication. We think of verses there in Matthew 27, that we read, those last two verses that we read, 55 and 56, that many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene. The person that is saved by the grace of God and delivered from the power of darkness begins to serve Christ. The works follow. Mary, it seems, served the Lord since the very day that she got saved. Record is made of her in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And here's what we read in the opening three verses of Luke chapter 8. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And we've just read the account given by Matthew concerning these women, that they followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Mary Magdalene took of her substance, and she made sure that the Savior and her Lord lacked nothing in his journeys. There was no lack of water for his feet. There was no lack of bread for his table when Mary was able to see to it. She did all that she could for her master as he went through the cities and the villages of Palestine preaching the gospel. As Jesus was going to the cross, there were many that day that gathered in the procession and thronged around the Savior and the soldiers and the 2 thieves that were being put to death for their crimes. These ones that were being led to the place of execution. And my friends, there is a group that's singled out here. Singled out among all that are mentioned. And in particular, mention is given of this woman, Mary Magdalene. Who was this number that are singled out? Well, it wasn't the apostles. Not one of them. Not one of them at this stage, as the record goes, followed Jesus along that path. And only John, we're absolutely certain about, stood in the shadow of the cross that day when Jesus was put to death. Sadly, fear had gripped their hearts and they fled, or maybe they are somewhere away in the distance following afar off. No, the Bible tells us about a company of women who courageously and boldly walked with the Lord on his way to Calvary. With love in their hearts, devotion in their souls, and no doubt tears in their eyes. These were, in ordinary terms, as the Bible calls them, the weaker vessel. But now, by the grace of God, they're made strong in faith to follow the Lord, albeit at a little distance. It may have been that the soldiers wouldn't let anyone near Christ, and those that were being marched all the way to Calvary. But I have no doubt in my mind that had the opportunity been given, if they had have been permitted, they would still have ministered to his needs on the road to the cross. It might be worthwhile pointing out that they followed the Lord, we're told, from Galilee to Jerusalem. That's something like 100 miles. Followed the Lord all the way into all the towns and the cities that he visited. They're not going to forsake him now. You're going to follow him to the end. May God give you and I that are saved in this meeting the grace to persevere to the end, whatever the cost might be. We may have traveled many miles with him thus far. We may have faced difficulties and trials, oppositions of various kinds. Are we going to forsake him now? I think not. No, we want the spirit of Mary Magdalene. We want to go with the Lord all the way. I don't know how many women were there who loved the Lord and in his short ministry helped all they could, but some of them are named. And it pleases God to put their name on record, these individuals, and among them is Mary Magdalene. She was dedicated to Christ. She wanted to do all that she could for the one who had showed such kindness and mercy to her, having been rescued from 7 devils. Mary could never do enough for him. And that's how we feel. That's how we feel as Christians. That's how I feel tonight. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The very first sentence that grace breathed in the lips of Saul of Tarsus when he was converted was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's how we feel. The life that has been truly transformed by the power of grace divine is a life that's handed over to the Lord, to minister unto him, and to persevere to the end. This is Mary and her devotion. I want you to notice her observation Let me take you to the 23rd chapter of Luke and the verse 49. A little verse that we read. All his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And then I want you to go to John chapter 19 and that 25th verse that we read. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Crucifixion has taken place. They walked the road. Somewhere in the procession that day to Golgotha's hill, they watched the soldiers divest their Lord of his clothing. They watched on in horror as the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet. Hands of kindness, hands of blessing, hands of power, hands of sovereign deity. Feet that had walked the Judean hills and the shores of Galilee, bringing the glad tidings of great joy. They beheld the blood-stained body of Christ hoisted up upon that cross and hanging in agony between heaven and earth. They heard him pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They listened to the mockery and the foul insults that spluttered from their mouths of those that hated him so. They saw Pilate's sign displayed over his head, "This is the King of the Jews." They heard the conversation of the thieves and the cry of mercy from the one who repented. They felt the darkness of hell descend upon Calvary and spread itself across the face of the world. And no doubt they were moved intensely at his cry of anguish when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Another loud cry falls from his lips when he prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And it's at this point that he died. And the centurion is brought to say, "Certainly this was a righteous man." But all the people that stood that day in the shadow of the cross, there in the darkness, watching all that happened, the Bible tells us that they smote their breasts. When they saw all that was to be seen and all that had taken place and the darkness that had fallen and the cries of the Savior, they smote upon their breasts and they went home. And they went home. But the women who beheld these things, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they stood on at the cross. Oh, that God in his mercy would give us views of the cross. That he would help us to understand more and more what it meant for Christ, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Oh, that we could just grasp even a little bit more of the sufferings and realize the victory that was accomplished in those few short hours when sin was laid upon him and Christ passed through the lowest hell on our behalf. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. O wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. O make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Our observation sees Christ on the cross, all that took place. Just for a moment, I want you to think about her devotion. Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 27 and verse 61 reads as follows. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. And if we could just add to that, Mark chapter 15 and verse 47. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. The body of Jesus has been taken down carefully, gently, lovingly. by the hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. With loving, tender care, his body is wrapped in the linen cloth and smothered in the spices and laid in Joseph's tomb. They rolled a great stone across the doorway, the mouth of the sepulchre, and they go home. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, they leave. But there are two Marys who linger on. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. There's not many, we must point out, attended the funeral of our dear Lord. Just the four. Just the four, the two men and the two women so mentioned. There wasn't even an apostle there. And here we have two women lingering on when the other two had left. As they had followed him to the cross, so they accompany him, his body, to the grave. And they sit over against the sepulchre. They sit down in devotion and in love, as many a grieving family member might sit at the graveside of a dear one. And there, no doubt, they weep. They shed tears of affection. There is no doubt at all that these women loved the Savior. As Matthew Henry says, they sat over against the sepulchre, not so much to fill their eyes with the sight of what was done, as to empty them in rivers of tears. And I think Christians tonight understand that. We understand their grief and the love that they have for the Lord, because that's how we feel. I want you to see her action just very, very quickly, for time is almost gone. Her action is there in the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 23, and in the verses 55 and 56. The women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Mary Magdalene and the other women, they made great preparation for the embalming of the body of their Savior. This, of course, was more an evidence of their love than of their faith. Because had they remembered, they would just need to recall he had said so often in his ministry, "I will rise again. I will rise on the third day." But for some reason, they had forgotten that, or faith had failed them, but they still love him nonetheless. They could have avoided all the time and the energy and the expense of providing what they did, for in a short time he would rise again. But again, it's further demonstrated to us here and what they did, that they loved him so. And then one final thought, just as we close the meeting. I want you to think about our consolation. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Let's read that verse again. "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." And what a beautiful account we have in the Gospel of John chapter 20, where verse 11 onwards reads as follows. Oh, read the words. Think about them tonight. It says, "Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the right head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I shall love the Lord. Jesus said, Mary." Oh, just her name.
She turned and said, Rabboni. Oh, her eyes were opened. This, my friend, was her consolation. She was the very first to see the risen Christ. This dear, devoted woman, this woman who loved him much, was given much, was honored much. What a privilege. Here is the lesson as we close tonight. The closer we cleave to Christ, the sooner he will reveal himself to us. Mary cleaved to Christ. And here was her reward. Here was her blessing. Here was her consolation. Jesus appeared. You know, I fear that many Christians are losing out today. They're not seeing Christ the way that they ought. Therefore, he's not revealing himself. He's not drawing near. He's not giving special blessings of himself, because we're not devoted the way that we ought to be. Oh, for a closer walk with Christ. Oh, to travel him the oftener. Oh, to draw up close to him, like Mary. To serve, to minister to him, like this dear woman. To walk the many miles with Jesus, with a heart full of love and devotion. To follow him to the cross, to watch him die, to ponder often the scenes of his wondrous death, to stand beneath the shadow of Calvary the way that this woman did. It is then that he will appear, and he will appear with words of comfort and consolation, and we shall see him in his glory, in his risen person and power, and we will enjoy sweet and personal communion with him. So let me, like Mary, hear the voice that called her by her name and bade her mourning heart rejoice and her dear master claim. May that be so for us all tonight. You see, the Lord put her name into the record. The Holy Spirit has recorded her name over and over again because he wants us to learn from Mary Magdalene. And I trust that you've seen something tonight of this character, and you've learned from her as the Lord would have us to learn from her. If you haven't got to the first stage and you've come to know him as Savior, haven't come to know him as Savior, this is a vital night for you to trust him and then be devoted and dedicated to him for the rest of your life.